has us on his smartphone at the game. Said he's repping at the game tonight.
The guy who's at the A&M game, they're showing the crowd right now. Wave.
Okay.
I see him.
Dubsy,
there
he
is.
You were drinking earlier. By the way, A&M just took a lead over Missouri, pending the extra point, about to go up 7 as we go back to our
Missouri's
phones.
Very good. I mean,
no, they're not.
Same as Kentucky, man. You know, they won all these games.
That's right.
How did Missouri win? How do you get in the SEC and have that schedule? Have you looked at that thing?
Did they make a deal to get in? Did they want them to start off on the good foot?
This is their toughest game.
Did they want them to start off on the good foot? That's my question.
This is their toughest game.
But I'll say this for them. They went to Florida and laid it on them.
Well, they went to Florida and Florida collapsed.
Hey.
119
yards. Why couldn't they collapse for us?
Because it's Tennessee.
They did collapse for us.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what makes me mad.
It's Florida, Tennessee. Don't.
I'm trying to celebrate, and here you're pulling me back into the Florida thing. Let's get Louisville Al here. Louisville Al, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Louisville Al. Welcome.
Thank you so much. The reason Florida beat us is because you guaranteed that they would. I think, didn't you? Was that one of the guarantees, Tom?
But I guaranteed tonight we'd blow Kentucky out. Do I get credit for that?
You were right.
Oh, for once. Let's qualify that, Al. For one time.
Can I call you T-Bone?
Al, you can call me whatever you want to call me, brother. Whatever you feel comfortable calling me.
All right. Well, my brother's a friend of yours. And but I want to remain anonymous beyond that. So, I was just looking at the bowl situation in the SEC. It looks like right now we have 10 bowl eligible teams, and Tennessee and Kentucky are both one short. How many bowl possibilities do we have?
As many as you want. Here's the deal.
So if we get 12, we're going to get 12.
Absolutely. They will never leave a team home from this league because the league travels too well. And as for Tennessee's bowl slot, what's going to be interesting now, because nobody buys tickets anymore. These teams that are used to going, kind of like we were back in the 90s, you get bored with the same destinations.
Yeah.
Tennessee fans, if they can win next week and win another one against Vandy and finish with 7 wins and finish out the season with on a 4-game winning streak, with Dobbs, with the fact that people are going to buy tickets, if they can get one of those Florida games, one of those lesser games,
they'll go wherever.
They will. Oh, our fan base
we'll,
is going
to we'll go to the BBVA Compass Bowl.
No question.
Oh, yeah. Legion Field in early January.
Our fans are going to travel anywhere they want us to go. Al, we're so hungry right now.
Kibo, I think you can say we turn the corner next week after Mizzou. We beat them, and I saw one of your colleagues, UT great Chris Burke. We work out at the same gym, and we were talking Tennessee football every time I see him, and he says, "If we win out, we're going to be top 5 next year."
That's Berkey. Berkey told me one year before one of dual league seasons. Al, he told me we were going to win 10 games.
He was wrong.
He was a little off. But I tell you what, Berkey is true blue. He loves this place, Al.
He does.
Absolutely bleeds Tennessee orange. Berkey is one of my favorite people of all time.
When I walk by the gym, I look in there, and if I see orange Adidas sneakers, I don't even look at the people. I look at, because there's always people flying all over the place. I look at the shoes. If I see orange Adidas sneakers, I know Berkey's out there.
There you go. I love it, man. Hey, Louisville Al, great hearing from you tonight. And let me ask you something, Louisville Al. Do you believe the Cardinals, even with a backup quarterback in 2 weeks, will get the Kentucky Wildcats? Kentucky looks gassed to me, Al.
They do, but they're coming off an off week. That can be the elixir that helps them get over the hump. It's a robbery game. I don't count them out. Bobby Petrino's had his absolutely had his way over Kentucky for a long time. Save one game where he lost at Louisville, and kind of like Spurrier lost to us last week in a kind of a unbelievable collapse at the last second. But I got to give him a chance with an off week. I do.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you.
Thank you so so much, Tebow.
All right, man. 865-200-5402. Before we get ready to jump back to our phones, I just want to hit the reset button and remind you what you're listening to tonight.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Bearing Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Now, it's time to get your host, Tony Basilio.
Currently jammed this evening, celebrating Tennessee's 50-16 win over the Kentucky Wildcats. I can tell you right now that Florida State has started another game slowly. They're down 7-0 at the hands of the Miami Hurricanes early. One has to wonder, is Jameis Winston shaving points again for another first half?
You know, that hit-and-run story is kind of apropos for this Florida State team because, you know, they always show up late. Right at the end, they leave, and then they come back and win the game. It's kind of symbolic.
I like how they had a hit-and-run. There was no alcohol check. There was no sobriety test. There were no questions asked. And they only got a ticket for a hit and run. Now, you think if we would go out on the streets tonight, run somebody over?
Oh, yeah. You could go home, have a Dr. Pepper, relax, catch up on some emails, and just go back whenever you want. It's cool.
865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us, I want to welcome one of my son's friends, Chase Cardwell's in studio with me tonight. And let me go back to our phones. He went to the game with my son today. My daughter said it was too cold for her. She sold her ticket to this gentleman.
I think Chase is thawing out slowly.
Yeah, he looks like he is. Tonight, let me say this. Is God bless Steve Phillips. Tonight on Twitter, he put, I can't believe it's been so long since Tennessee's been good in football and since they've blown a team out. It's been so long since the Vols have blown a SEC team out in Neyland Stadium and all those people left. Dude, it was easy for you to say from the press box. It was 20 degrees. It's freezing. Are you kidding? And it's a blowout. I mean, what world is that guy living in? These people that love to take shots at our fan base, it's just, why? These fans are incredible here. They're incredible.
If you sat through all four quarters of that and stayed till the final whistle, you're tough as nails.
You are an icicle right now. Or you're Dewey Warren. Dewey would have sat out there in his coach's shorts tonight. Back to the phones we go.
Those things are tight.
That cat was warm. You talk about a dude that's warm-blooded. We work with Swamp Rat Dewey Warren, Russell, and myself. I worked with him for a good 8-9 years, and every winter, it could be 15 degrees below zero, like the old, what's the old commercial for the AC Delco battery up there in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Dewey would have been out there jumping his car in a pair of coach's shorts. Back to the phones we go. Tennessee's football program thawing out as well. Mariano's up next. The Vols win 50-16 today as Randolph's pick six, according to Butch Jones, early in that game really set the tone and turned the tide for the Volunteers. And one other item for you, we will not know about the injury to Matt Crowder, Coach Jones said, for some time.
Oh, I'm sure Butch Jones will give you the complete details on that Monday. I mean, he's very forthcoming with his injury reports. I'm sure he'll show you the X-ray.
Oh, you media people, stop whining, would you? Stop whining already.
Bring in the orthopedic specialist to his press conference to explain exactly what's going on with Matt Crowder's knee.
Mariano, hello, sir. Welcome.
How are you, Tony?
Mariano, I am enjoying every stinking minute of this, my friend.
Gosh, it's been a long time, you know. It really has. I mean, to see a guy that, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, but to see somebody who can actually run the offense that they're trying to run, it's really pretty nice to watch when you've got the piece to run it, you know, and you've got to have it. You've got to have a running quarterback in that offense.
You know what it feels like, Mariano? It feels like we're going downhill instead of trying to take a boulder and go up a steep hill.
That's true. You were talking about Kamara, who's really had a really nice junior college season, and hopefully he gets here in good shape and everything. And You know, the kid that we've got committed from Blackman, he's a perfect fit for this offense. I've seen him in person once. Hopefully, maybe I'll get to see him again this year, but he is a competitor first and foremost. He's a tremendous all-around athlete. He's really good in basketball too, but he's just a winner. And that's the kind of people that you need. And, you know, and in that offense, you may need two quarterbacks, you know, so it's, I mean, those quarterbacks are, you know, when you've got them that run a lot, they may get banged up or whatever, but it's refreshing to see. Question, Tony, where was North today?
That's a good question. I think he got out there on the field, but I don't think he caught a ball.
I don't think so either. I saw him maybe once in the first quarter, and I don't think I saw him. I mean, you know, I didn't really look for him, but obviously Kareem had a big day, which was refreshing to see, you know, and you just wonder, you know, it looks like that Kareem and Dobbs have a little bit of practice time together, and it really shows up in the games. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And did you guys notice how Kroom tonight played with an edge that he has not shown in his time here? Even
about?
A couple of his
he shows it all the time. Jason Kroom will show up big when you're against Kentucky, against UTC, against Utah State. Jason
Why are you taking off on him?
You're right. I'm being too negative.
I thought he really played to his size tonight, Mariano, for a change.
I want to see him do it against a good opponent.
Well, I agree with that, but the thing about it is, after he caught that ball, there's a 245-pound guy running away from Kentucky's DBs down the sideline. So that was sort of surprising, too, and I guess that's an indictment against Kentucky's defense. But
Bino, yeah. Give me your thoughts on Kroom's play tonight and Russell's subsequent taking off of him.
Not only was what Mariano talked about really impressive, I was even more impressed with the pass that they threw when we needed 3 yards for a first down. He's getting hit about 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and drives for the first down. That's something that we haven't seen out of Jason Kroom. I think he's trying to do everything possible to shed that soft player label that has followed him.
I agree. You know, and it looked like it's finally struck home with him, Bino. And, guys, I hate to keep harping on this, but I've seen 3 or 4 high school football fields at this time of the year that are in better shape than UT's. I mean, it's atrocious. And, I mean, when you've got spots that are 3 and 4 foot squares out there with sand and no grass, and it's at an SEC level school, there's no excuse for that. I mean, where is Bobby Campbell at? Get him out of retirement. You know, they say, well, it's cold here and we can't grow. You know, look, Kentucky's way farther north than we are, and their field looks tremendous compared to ours. So, you know, I mean, if you're going to have a first flight and everything, and, you know, the football team's coming back, but guys, please, if we're going to have grass, let's get some on the field. I mean, it's horrible.
You know, Mariano, I was told by some people over there in the agronomy department, in fact, I had dinner with somebody that has consulted on the field a little bit, and I was told, and this person wants to remain nameless, but he said that it's nearly impossible to get the type of grass that they're currently growing in Neyland Stadium to grow at this time of the year because it requires more sunlight in certain places than Neyland Stadium has. And he was specifically talking about the new boxes that have been added to the stadium and how there just hasn't been enough sunlight. And now you're really going to see it now that our days are shorter.
Well, I think, Tony, even early in the season, the Florida game, I mean, you know, that's showing up then, you know, and obviously it's going to get worse, and especially in cold weather, the Bermuda's going to be gone. But, you know, if we can't do any better than that, we might as well go to artificial turf. Honestly, I mean, it really looks bad. I mean, you've got an 80-inch screen, and you can see you can look at Bama's field, and you know their field is really. I've done some research on what their field and what they do, but they have that problem too with sunlight because their stadium is actually taller than our stadium. But they were talking about the airflow in the stadium with the grass. Now I'm not an expert on it, but they bring in fans during the summertime to get the proper airflow to get that grass really taken off. And I mean, you know, obviously they're in a warmer climate, but still yet, I think, you know, that it just looks, I mean, guys, it really looks bad, you know, and it grew for so many years, and then all of a sudden now it quits growing. I mean, you know, for the first few years that we had it, or at least through the early 2000s, we had a nice field, but, man, it's gone completely downhill. So, anyway, guys, great win, and, you know, keep going. Talk to you later.
Mariano, thank you. Bino, you have a thought on the field? Because after talking to the gentleman I talked to, he said it's not as simple as you guys think it is.
Tony, you know I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I've been telling you this a little bit since they canceled the preseason high school jamboree that they generally have at Neyland Stadium. I believe that they are trying to soften the blow because they want to go to field turf. And they know that there'll be a natural backlash against that. But if they can tell people, hey, if we can have field turf, we can let these high school teams play here. And if there's a thought out there that the field's not in great shape, that's another thing that kind of greases the skids.
I hate.
I want to go to field turf, and all of this is part of that.
I hate artificial turf. Hate, 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 hate. And let me tell you why I hate it. I am a connoisseur of classic sporting events. I've never shown you my collection, Dubsy, but if you open this closet right around the side of the Raymere studio, I bet you I've got 4,000 or 5,000 DVDs and VHS tapes in there. No joke. All different vintage football games, just oddball things, wrestling, you name it.
And you sit around and watch this?
A lot of my collection, Dubs, from the 70s is marred by artificial turf. It is ugly. It is hideous. It is not natural. College football games played on it back in the day are not as pleasant to look at as college football games on grass. And in this era, it's especially true. I hate seeing those pellets kicked up when you're watching a game in the Georgia Dome.
I agree with you 100%. I hate the artificial turf as well. But I'm with Mariano. If Tennessee's field is going to look as bad as it has the past two or three seasons, and it's getting progressively worse, if this is the best they can do, I think as much as I hate the turf, it's better.
Steve in Richmond tonight listening to us. Thank you, Steve, for being there. Brian Lewis said they'll tear up the field and turf every year and replace it. Dr. Seth says, what are your thoughts about Brian Randolph out for the first half against Missouri and Todd Kelly Jr. getting more playing time? Bino, what are your thoughts on Todd Kelly Jr. tonight in the stint that he had?
I thought that he played well, Tony, and although Toll slid late, I think it was the proper call as far as the targeting from the replay that I saw. Someone who watched it on television may feel differently, but off the Jumbotron, it looked like a correct call.
Back to the phones we go. Nathan in Dyersburg checking in with us. Let's go back to our phones and let's see who's next with us tonight. Let's grab our next caller, Paisan, who's up with us. Paisan, hello.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Let me tell you something. Shields-Watkins Field tonight was in perfect shape. I don't know where these guys are coming from. That field is in exceptional shape. There wasn't one guy slipped or fell down on that field tonight. That field was beautiful. I don't know where these people are coming up with this. I'll be honest with you. And I played on fields like that. That is a beautiful field. And if they ever put artificial turf over there, you kid me? I mean, that's a bunch of crap.
They better not put artificial turf over there.
Hey, Tony, that field is in excellent shape. It's in excellent shape.
All right, I'll take your word for that.
It is. There's nothing wrong with that field. Hey, you were talking about Jerry Reed. You know, he's the one that's saying, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Remember that?
Absolutely. It's what we were talking about in light of the comments. Dubsy, who made the comments?
Son.
And what's Son say?
Oh, I was just saying, Son. That's a Jerry. That's what? A Jerry.
And who made the comment, Dubsy?
I don't know.
Now, who said tonight that we're hot? It was Von Pearson, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Missouri's
yeah, right.
coming said, in here.
I feel sorry for Missouri. We hot.
Thank you.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Hey, and is Russell in there with you?
That's him. That was Russell.
No. Hey, Russell. Hey, by the way, you accused me the other day of relieving myself on the air. I didn't do that, by the way.
I heard a flush.
Hey, that wasn't me. That must have been some kind of...
Something piped into your studio, Dubsy. Wouldn't be the first time.
I only have one rule. Don't call me from the bathroom, please. You got to have some...
I love when people call me from the bathroom. I think it's cool.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, though, and I'll get out of here. This Dobbs kid, you know, what did we punt tonight, Tony, one time?
Punted twice in the game.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. Today, it's just a whole other ball game. And when they come out after the halftime and throw that sideline pattern, Beano said it to me earlier, it's like that Manning to Nash pass, and he went down. I mean, that game was over. And by the way, guys, we're going to play in the biggest game we've played in a long time this week because Georgia is beating Auburn. And the only way Georgia is going to go to Atlanta is if we beat Missouri next week. This is a game of consequence next
week.
Yeah,
Missouri's losing right now. And as you point out, Georgia is up on Auburn right now a couple scores, which is surprising to me. But there you go. This is going to be very interesting next week if this holds.
It will be, but it's a game. This is going to be the biggest game in Knoxville in a long time next week, no matter what happens, Tony.
Totally agree with you.
All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate you coming on after the game here.
Yeah.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, Paizan. Let me get this in here. Tennessee did punt two more times late in the game. I know they had only punted twice going into the third quarter. I figured I would have to look that up to amend it. They punted four times. I wasn't catching garbage time. No offense to garbage time. I love garbage time, but I wasn't catching garbage time as I was preparing as Miami adds a field goal, and they are now up 16-0 early, 14 minutes, 51 seconds to go in your first half. Miami is right now up big time on Florida State, and they have the eyes of the nation, I would dare say, on them. I would bet you there are kids whose families are playing in other games that are televised tonight who will flick on the TV curiously with the hopes that Jameis Winston the night Beano gets defeated.
Absolutely, Tony. He's already made me pull for both Notre Dame and Bobby Petrino and the Hurricanes tonight. That's the trifecta there that I thought would never happen. And if he continues on his way, he may even make me pull for Alabama.
Back to the phones, 865-200-5402. As we will go and grab another call here on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome to Mike, who's listening to us in Nashville. Mike, hello.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, man, it's really good to hear your show. It's keeping me warm out here. I'm walking the dog, and I swear every degree the temperature drops, it takes my dog Stanley about 5 extra minutes to find the perfect spot to take a dump.
Why do the animals do that? When it's brutally cold outside, they love to put us through that, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do, and I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have... you guys, you and Russell and Beano out there. And I want to give some gratitude to Kentucky. They've made me very happy the last couple of weeks. First, they chose not to elect that dumb broad who won't even say who she voted for president to the Senate. And then tonight, what a victory. You know, I called you earlier this week, and I was really just questioning whether or not Tennessee could put back-to-back wins together, could build off that. I guess I'm just so used to the Dooley era and being let down. And it really looks like I'm really confident that we may be able to win out here, get to a decent bowl game. Who knows, maybe it'll be down here in Music City. Or I tell you what would be nice is if we could somehow get a matchup with Penn State so Jalen Hurd can show Franklin what it's like to settle in life.
You know, James Franklin today, his little genius. I wish he were still down there, as you just said. I wish he were still down there. I'm gonna tell you something. His start at Penn State, Temple almost clipped them today. Now they made some big plays in the latter part of that third quarter to put that game out of reach. Temple almost clipped them today, and Jameis Winston came really close to throwing another interception, and that one would have gone for a touchdown.
How is he throwing this game? Does his high school buddy have $5,000 on the on Miami to win the first half?
Let's go around the hall here, and Mike, thank you. Apparently, his dog has hit pay dirt. Bino, do you believe Jameis Winston is capable of fixing a half of a football game? Do you believe that?
I believe Jameis Winston is capable of just about everything, Tony.
Russell, do you?
I want to. I don't think he did that, though.
Some of the numbers tonight from Tennessee's game, just to show you how dominant the performance was this evening. 7 of 17 on third down. With Josh Dobbs in the game, Tennessee just converts. They just convert, Bino.
Yeah, Tony, I want to give them credit for some things tonight, too, as far as short yardage goes. That's something that we've been hard on them about. Tonight, they put Dobbs under center and ran the sneak once. And on several occasions, they actually put him in motion to where they could run their wildcat package without the defense having an opportunity to put a defense in there specifically designed against the wildcat. So I thought they did some good things tonight, or attempted to. One other quick thing, Tony, about the SEC East. If Georgia wins tonight and Missouri gets beat, Georgia wins the SEC East tonight. They
tonight.
Would finish at 6-2, and Missouri would have two losses with two SEC games remaining, and Georgia beat Missouri head up. So Georgia can clinch. Georgia doesn't have any conference games left after tonight.
Shame on me for not knowing that. The league is just so, the East is so, unwatchable?
You know, I mean, Tony, we were talking about Florida having an opportunity to still win until they got beat today. There's no way to decide for that.
Yeah, but,
after looking at the standings, that's the way it goes.
And by the way, I love the fact that the officials like to call everything. You would think in a blowout game, and when it's cold outside, that they would let a few things go. Not in this league, Bino. Not in this league.
No, you're right. It's flag day. If, you know, seven times a Saturday.
Tennessee, by the way, is getting another weapon last year. Ralph Abernathy, IV, who is an excellent.
That's the fourth.
That's the fourth, right. I call him IV. That's the young man who's got the lineage, whose brother
Micah
committed to Tennessee recently, a defensive back, originally out of the Georgia area, was recruited to Cincinnati by Butch Jones, will be one of these graduate-type students next year, one to play one, excellent specialist as a punt returner, can also return kickoffs, so Tennessee right now looking at a real takeoff season next year, another weapon to add to the arsenal. As we go back to the phones, and by the way, that reported by who? Paul Fortenberry over at VolQuest. So kudos to Paul. Let's go back to the phones and get another call here. T-Carp is next. T-Carp, hello.
Hey, guys. Good evening. How are y'all doing today?
Hey, great to talk to you, man.
T-Carp. Hey, guys. Hey. Tony, I've got so much to talk about.
Take your time.
Hey, man, thank you so much for being that voice for the common fan like me who's sitting up in the stands and freezing my rear end off. But, hey, man, this is one of the only games I'm going to get to go to, so I'm going to sit it out. And, you know, Steve Phillips sending out that tweet, that's kind of frustrating because I'm sitting there, you know, like, man, you know, I'd really like to be sipping hot chocolate and, you know, 70-degree box, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all? That's I don't understand that, but I am not hostile toward the fans here, nor will I ever be.
I also wanted to... I just wanted to mention just all the talent we have now. I was watching Vaughn Pearson, and I'm like, oh, he's going to get caught. And he makes a guy miss. And then he jukes another guy out and then just drives his feet in for a touchdown. And it's like, when have you seen that? When have you seen a skill position player like that in the last 5 years make a couple guys miss when the ball's in his hand, make guys miss for a touchdown? You know he's going to do it. You know, just like Hurd, too, making guys miss in the hole and spinning out for 5, 6, 7 more yards. It's just a really, really good thing to see. It really makes me smile for the future of this program. It feels really good to be going in this direction.
It's odd because it's been so long since we felt this way, hasn't it?
Very much so. Dubsy, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're on the verge of something special. I mean, everything is falling into place. The offense is turning the corner. The defense looks like it's about to be dominant. They've got the kicker, a punter is a question mark going into next year. But everywhere else, I mean, you've got to feel pretty good about it going into next season.
Barnett, by the way, are we seeing the next great defensive end at Tennessee?
You're already saying it. Yeah, he's already arrived.
Did he set the record tonight? I didn't catch it.
He has Clowney had 8, and he's now at 9.
The freshman SEC record we have on our team, and he's done it. I haven't really seen him talk a lot of smack.
No.
I haven't seen him say, look at me, I'm the crud, or anything like that. He's just walked back to the huddle,
yep.
You know, done a little celebration, and keep on trucking.
Yep, he's not calling attention to himself, plays the game like he respects it, respects his opponent. What I like about him is it's not just those numbers and the TFL numbers as well. It's the fact that he plays every down. You can tell that's a guy that respects the opportunity that he has.
Very much so. I'm just so happy to have him. It's just so good to see someone bust their tail. And I'm not saying that none of the other players do. Don't say that, or please don't take it like that. But when I see it, it's, you know, third down, Barnett sack, Barnett tackle for loss. You know, he's just got a motor. And I haven't seen a motor necessarily like that since Will Overstreet. You know what I mean?
And that's an interesting observation on your part, because Overstreet's another guy that attacked the game and played the game with a lot of respect.
And I think Barnett does a really good job. So far from what I've seen, he's done such a good job of that, and I'm very happy. Dobbs looked good. We saw some times where he missed some wide open guys. We saw that kind of that good Dobbs. Bad Dobbs is, but you know, he's being an athlete, thought he did a good job of, there were some times that I thought I was in the stands, I was like, oh, this guy's wide open, and then he takes it and runs it for 10, 15 yards, and I'm like, I'm glad he did that and didn't put the ball in a bad situation. So I thought he made some really smart, did some smart things tonight, so I was very proud of him.
You know, it's going to be a very interesting off season for several guys, because for the first time in a long time around here, there are going to be two things. There's going to be success, and there's going to be expectations. It's been a long time. It's going to be interesting because it's a different deal. Yeah, this team will be a top 25 team coming in the next season. You can go ahead and put that down.
I'll write it down, Tony.
Please
guys,
do.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you guys and just to get my voice heard. You guys are awesome. Dubs, you're awesome as well. Thank you guys so much.
865-200-5402. Preseason top 25, Tennessee next year. They'll get votes.
If they went out,
they'll
be in it.
I fully expect them to be in it.
I mean, they've got to be one of the favorites for the East, provided they win out. I think Georgia loses their quarterback. Florida is probably going to have a coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri seems to be backsliding a little bit. Kentucky's not there yet. South Carolina is definitely backsliding.
865-200-5402 is our number. Vince Keller from over at Smartway told me no private box here. He sent me a picture of himself. Vince, you look like an Eskimo, man. You should be rubbing noses with somebody. Good gosh.
Hey, Tony, a couple of quick things.
Go ahead.
Mark's call. Derek Barnett's an absolute stud. The only thing that needs to change, and I don't want to see him robbed of his aggressiveness, is there's a couple of little things going on after the whistle with him. You know, we saw one of them at South Carolina that was fortunate that it was overlooked. There were a couple of things tonight as well, but what a player he is. And as far as the media talking about our fans, Tony, we've got five wins this year, five wins. We've had four home sellouts. We've got one less sellout than we have wins on the year. If you're a media member, if the next time you pay for a game, to get in a game will be your first, shut the H up about the fans.
Well, I just don't understand the tweet about why is everybody leaving early. People are leaving early because it's 20 degrees outside. They want to get a jump on the traffic.
Well, if it were a close
game. And it's
game.
50 to 16 for crying out loud. That's why they left early. That's what most people do when it's 20 degrees outside. You've been sitting out there for 4 hours to begin with.
Well, when it's nice outside. I mean, you think Alabama fans are going to... Didn't Nick Saban have to chastise his fans last year after they left?
And Nick Saban's another one. He needs to shut the hell up. He's making $8 million a year.
Yeah.
Shut up!
You're laying the hammer down. I want to go home and watch some other games. I've seen enough.
Yes.
I don't want to see your walk-ons run out the clock.
We know, Nick, that you think it's all about you. Unfortunately, it is not. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, Florida State scores a touchdown. Miami comes right back five plays later. A slant to the tight end who takes it the distance. That was like a 55, 60-yard play. And their tight end from Miami was outrunning Florida State secondary. And that was a 60-yard play, 61 yards to be specific. And you will not see that every day. I'm going to tell you something. People laughed at my guy, Al Golden. And that's my guy from the Temple days. He can coach. And he's showing you right now that he can coach. Because he's had a nice second half of the season after everybody had him fired. Go ahead, Russell.
If Florida State collapses and loses this game, watch the wheels come off. I'll bet you Florida will go down there and give them all they want in that last regular season.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. But this game's a long way from over. Let's go back to the phones at 865-200-5402 as we get ready. That Jameis Winston, just the sight of that guy makes me sick. By the way, Miles Garrett from A&M, who's a freshman, has more sacks than Barnett this year. And so a couple of great young defensive linemen in this league, no doubt about it. But Derek Barnett has had a tremendous, tremendous season as a true freshman. Incredible. Not bad for a kid from the mid-state. Back to the phones we go. Brian is next with us. Brian, hello.
Hey, guys. What's going on, Russ? How are you guys?
Hey, Brian. Welcome, man.
Good to hear you guys loud and clear. Yeah, man, I was looking this now. What, 56 tackles, 18 tackles for losses, 9 sacks with 2 games left? What?
Not bad, man. I'd say those aren't bad numbers for a freshman.
I love it, man. Beautiful. Hey, you know, I'm kind of with Russell Doug usually on the play on our big wide receiver. But, man, I thought he'd turn it on tonight. And, of course, Vaughn Pearson was getting most attention. But it was good to see Kroon finally put some dust in the wind. I don't think it was showing some Kentucky defensive backs that were slow. I think the kid's got more jets than we realize. And I'm with Russell. Let's stay on the kid. Keep running. But he looked good tonight, guys.
I'm not going to stay on that kid. Why am I going to stay on that kid?
Because he's faster than he's been playing. I'm telling you, I have to agree with Russell on that one comment. He's not been playing to where he can. That kid can be an all-star, Tony. I wouldn't stay on him to be hard. Stay on him to keep playing hard. I think he's playing hard now, and this is what we can expect to see from him.
I tell you what the kid's going to get. That kid's going to get a shot to play NFL football because he's got an NFL body on him.
David Martin all over.
There's no question.
I'll guarantee you, though, if you asked Zach Azani, if you asked Butch Jones, they'd say the exact same thing that I did. I think he's got potential. I just want to see him do it in a game that matters.
Florida State's driving.
Love the show. Have a good job, man. You guys keep rolling and go Balls.
Thank you, my friend. 865-200-5402. Bino, a very difficult quandary is coming up for that committee, and then we'll go back to the phones here. And if you want to get in with us, the number is 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight on the program, we'd love to hear from you, as this is your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. I do want to remind you here at TonyBasilio.com, we are with you following each basketball game as well. We'll be with you Thursday night. Keith Hatfield and myself be with you on Thursday following the Tennessee game as they look to get their first win in the Donnie Tindall era. Smartway, one of our sponsors, as I was telling you. And then, Craig, you're up. And then I want to ask Bino about this dilemma that the selection committee or whatever they are, when they announce their four for the week. Because now is when people are really going to start paying attention. Up until now, it has been window dressing. It's been a TV show. Now people are going to start looking at it and going, okay, who's where? And it's about to get really, really interesting. Smart Way, though, if they go the smart way, there's no way Baylor doesn't jump TCU if they go the smart way. There's just no way. There's absolutely no way. And if they go the smart way, Mississippi Mistake has to be one of the top four teams in America, the way they played Alabama on their home field. Back to the phones we go. I'm sorry. Smartway, go smartway.net online. Everything for your home, where you are going to pay your way at Smartway. Smartway has everything for your home. Knoxville's newest retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics. They even have cell phones. They have tires there. And they're adding more and more in new and different product lines each day. Pop in and see what I'm talking about. 8416 Kingston Pike. You can take a virtual tour online as well. Go smartway.net for that. And the way it works is you can go in, choose the low, low price, pay it today, and pay in full and walk out with your item. Perfect. Or you can pay 120 days, 6 months, same as cash, and pay the cash price within the first 120 days or 6 months. Or you can choose a lease, purchase, rent-to-own program where you'll choose your payment amount and frequency, change it anytime you want without the hassle of a new agreement. That's why we call it Pay Your Way. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can buy your product outright, pay in full today, have it delivered for free, or you can take it with you. Also, remember, on smartphones, Smartway is rolling in the smartphone business right now, carrying name brands like Samsung, LG, Blue, even iPhones available. And they have no contract, prepaid cell phone plans from Net10, Page Plus, Red Pocket, and Simple Mobile as well. You can even BYOP, bring in your own cell phone. They'll activate it for you. Or you can buy one from them. They also repair smartphones. Smartway. Go smartway.net online. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Before we grab Craig, I do want to remind you a couple of scores of local interest. First of all, Georgia. 7-2 coming into tonight on top of Auburn, 17-7. Elsewhere around your Southeastern Conference, Bino, what's the latest score on Missouri? Do you have it?
The latest Missouri score I saw, Tony, I believe was A&M was up 7 points.
Okay. Arkansas is on top of LSU, 10-0. And, Russell, you made a point to me. You didn't say it on the air, but you said it to me, and that's good enough. What did you tell me about LSU and why they were going to lose tonight?
Well, it's temperature in Fayetteville was 29 degrees at kickoff. It's the coldest game of the Les Miles era, coldest LSU game believed to be since 1970. And Colbe De La Husse, who was 9 of 10 field goals on the year, just missed a 27-yarder for LSU. It just seems like this might be Arkansas's night that Brett Bielema finally gets that elusive SEC win.
Halftime, 24-ranked A&M off their win over Auburn leads Missouri 13-6, the two newest members of the Southeastern Conference. Back to the phones we go. Arkansas on top of LSU, as I told you. 10-0, about a minute and a half or a minute to go there before halftime. Georgia on top of Auburn. That one, 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. A rather fast-moving game there and a low-scoring one at that, as Craig is next with us on the Smart Way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, Craig.
Tony, I've been listening to you a long time. I finally get on the phone with you. How you doing, man?
Hey, thanks, Craig. I'm really nervous, man. Don't be nervous, okay, because I am nervous.
Well, don't be nervous, dude. Hey, listen, I got a couple comments here. For one, I think if we take care of ourselves, we'll be Missouri. But really what I wanted to call and complain about, or not really complain about, but I'm so sick and tired of Alabama, it's not even funny. How do you like all of our chances of beating Alabama here in 2 weeks?
I would have told you a couple of weeks ago that I really like Auburn in that football game. And, you know, it's a one-shot deal. Auburn can rise to the occasion. The problem with Auburn right now is they're not finishing drives. And they're stubbing their toes. And if that continues, it's going to be big trouble in Little China for Auburn in that game. Because Alabama, you can see, they smell blood. They've kicked it up a notch, and I know you guys, some of you were at the game, several people hearing my voice right now. I had two TVs on and watched that Alabama game, and let me tell you something. That was a heavyweight fight. And at halftime, right before halftime, there was another one of those dubious SEC gives Alabama the shake calls that can only go for Alabama, Craig. It's really something, man.
I agree. I'm so sick. I live in Alabama, and I'm a huge Tennessee fan, and I can't even explain how sick and tired I am of the Crimson Tide. But I just hope to goodness Auburn can pull off the upset again in 2 weeks. There would be nothing more that would tickle me than for Auburn to pull off the upset of them for 2 years in a row. That's all I have to say, Tony. Have a good night, man.
I'm going to tell you that and if it's ever going to happen in that series, guys, you just don't know what the way that game's going to go. I would think that Auburn, you said it a couple days ago, Bino, Auburn has about used up their last lucky chip, I think. I think time's up on them a little bit here.
Yeah, Tony, when Alabama was able to escape Baton Rouge, I just didn't think that there was any way that Mississippi State or Auburn could beat them in Tuscaloosa. I never thought I'd say this 4 or 5 weeks ago. I don't think it'll happen, but I believe the best opportunity for Alabama to get beat prior to the playoffs would be if Georgia beat them in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I think that's probably not a bad thought because, boy, they can really run the ball. And you're seeing tonight, if you're looking at this Florida State game, what the ability to run the ball does for a team. This Duke Johnson, this cat is absolutely special for Miami. Bino, have you been looking at this at all?
Yes, he can really play, Tony. He got hurt in this game last year, early, if you'll remember, broke his ankle, but he is he's a special running back.
Volstorm, thank you, says he's blasting the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction from the stadium to the car. Thank you, Volstorm. Dr. Seth telling us that he stayed to the very end tonight, and glad he did because he got to see a great celebration tonight with Kurt Majette. Hey, I feel so good for those kids. Let's talk about some of those upperclassmen and what they've been through. A.J. Johnson, I'm pleased as punch. Russell, you can see that those guys, before we grab another caller here, those guys absolutely smell blood, do they not? That they're going to actually go to the postseason here.
Yeah, you got to feel good for guys like AJ, who, you know, you had to wonder at some point, is this guy just going to leave with four consecutive losing seasons? And he's a nice player and all, but just never was part of a really good Tennessee team. And it looks like if things continue on this trajectory, that he's going to have a chance to go out on a really fun note and maybe be one of those guys when 4 or 5 years down the road, when Tennessee football is truly back, that you'll look back and say, hey, you know, A.J. Johnson, he helped lay the foundation that year.
I'm going to tell you, this team right here, if they roll through and they beat Missouri next week, because they're going to kill Vanderbilt, they beat Missouri next week, this team will take its place as one of the special teams here. People will always remember this team fondly because they're going to be known as the guys that stop the bleeding. And no matter what happens with Dobbs from here on out, he is always going to be seen as having he goes into Tennessee folklore.
Guys, I had the unique opportunity. I usually sit in the north end zone. Tonight, I sat on about the 40-yard line right up behind Tennessee's bench, about 12 rows up. So I got a really good look at their bench and the way they handle things. And I think you would be real pleased to know how organized it is, how focused they appear, how cohesive they seem to be, and how much fun they're having. AJ and Majid and Jordan Williams toward the end were over there practicing their dance moves, getting ready for whatever is to come this evening.
That's
good
great
stuff. It's fun to see.
I saw some quote from Butch, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that he felt like his team turned the corner right before the South Carolina game, and he made the comment that really it's about having the right mentality and mindset and team unity and all that. X's and O's count very little. It's about the culture, and I think that's kind of what Vino's getting at. They know what they're doing. There's organization for the first time in about 5 years rather than just a haphazard together team.
And there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it's one thing to have organization and to have the process and all that. When you start winning some games and you pick up a little bit of momentum that Gary Danielson doesn't believe in, by the way, but you pick up a little bit of momentum and now all of a sudden you've had some fruits for your labor. You know, Russell, when you go out and you have some fruits for your labor during the day, you know, we do what we do and do a good show, and you know you knocked it out of the park. It feels you want to get up and you want to do it again. You want to do it again. Yeah. I just compared it to doing talk radio. Let's go back to the phones, and let's grab another caller here. And let's get Roberto in here as next. Hello, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, man. Welcome.
Hey, I really enjoyed the game tonight. And you know what's funny? We're talking about everything, but you're saying, you know, there's lots of discipline. You know, how is our shower etiquette and our hygiene going?
Roberto, I'm pleased to say that even Basilio doesn't have me covering showers.
Oh, Lordy. Well, guys, it's always fun to win. It's really fun to win back-to-back games, specifically SEC games. It's been a long time. I believe the last time, I could be wrong, but I believe the last time we won back-to-back SEC games was the Kiffin year. Doesn't that seem like an eon ago to you guys, or is it just me?
I don't even remember the Kiffin era. There's been so much nonsense that's gone on here since then. In football, basketball, off the field, just nonsense. And this fan base, we've had it. We're ready to turn the page and turn the corner.
Yeah, and to Steve Phillips, who is actually, I would say, a personal friend. I would say an acquaintance that I know really well. Shut the hell up, dude. What the hell do you know about it? It really pisses me off when the media presumes to tell me how I should think, specifically at a game where I'm out there freezing my ass off. I mean, you know, I wasn't super cold, but my wife was with me. It wasn't warm at all. Who are these guys? Well, you haven't blown out somebody. Yeah, but there's also four awesome football games on, and you know what? I love college football. And by the way, Miami just got that first down on fourth.
That was incredible. They didn't only get it. They got 5 yards.
Yeah.
Five yards.
you know, your boy Hughie said that there's only two players from Miami that would play on Florida State, but one of them happened to be Duke Johnson, and he is so legit. He is really good. He's a first-round draft pick, in my opinion.
No doubt about it. He is the real deal, Holyfield.
Guys, I wanted to ask if you guys, I didn't get to see the Matt Crowder thing, but the question I would ask is, in your assessment, just because I really didn't see it, is he done for the year? Probably.
I've learned a long time ago. It looked like a knee. And I am not a doctor, and I am not going to play one on the radio, brother, but it did not look good.
Roberto, he put absolutely no weight on it coming toward the bench, mm-hmm. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
And to our moron, dumbest, I don't sign on with Philly when he calls us dumbest fan base in America. I actually think we're pretty informed. But tonight, man, we're making a run at dumbest fan base in America. How in the world are we doing the wave? Because I was talking to my brother-in-law while Mac was hurt, but all of a sudden all these people started standing up and screaming around me. I go, what are you guys doing? This kid's hurt. And they're like, oh, we're doing the wave. I'm like, are you joking? Are you kidding with me right now?
I was trying to figure out how in the third down for what era we're doing the wave. I mean, that's like Lawrence Welk showing up at Soul Train or something.
One of the greatest things I've ever heard. Well, guys, I've really enjoyed the show tonight. One small critique I would have of the offense is still, I just think on those fourth and shorts, big conversion there for Florida State or for Miami. On those fourth and shorts, can we please just put a fullback beside the quarterback in the gun?
No.
I'm okay with being in the gun.
Nope. Why don't we put the Ellis kid in? Why don't we put the Ellis kid in?
Why don't we go get Stockfill or somebody like a Bolger, Charles
Bolger. The Ellis kid was
somebody who doesn't get to hit somebody on a weekly basis.
I don't know.
It wants to go just absolutely slobber knock somebody.
I don't know.
And say, okay, here's the deal. You're going to get in front of this guy, and whoever steps in that hole, you're going to knock them 3 yards on their ass.
Thank you.
I want you to hit them running as hard as you possibly can. And the last thing I'll say is, Jason Kroom surprised me tonight with his speed.
Boy, no question.
With how fast he ran away from there. And somebody said there was an indictment on their defensive secondary. Their defensive secondary is not slow.
No, but they're gassed. They're cooked.
I'll give you their gas, but they're not slow.
No, but they're gassed. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Great talking to you. 865-200-5402. And Chip Payne on Twitter also making the point. And you brought this up, Russell, in the first 30 minutes for those just joining. And if you're wondering what Roberta was talking about there was a sequence tonight with Crowder laying on the turf and a sequence with Crowder laying on the turf and the fans are doing the wave. Bino, I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Tony, I mean, I didn't realize the timing of it. I mean, I'm a wave hater to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I want to jump on the fans about the timing of the wave.
Do you, Russell, want to jump on the fans again, as you did earlier in the show?
Well, I mean, I'm sure the fans aren't doing it as a sign of disrespect. They don't know, but I think it's just a thing where they don't know any better, don't realize the situation. But I've always thought when a guy's down on the field, you're silent until he gets up and you give him a nice round of applause.
Yeah. I'll tell you what was really scary last night was when that kid's head hit the ground. Virginia Commonwealth.
Oh, wow.
That kid from Dixon, Tennessee, guys. I'm going to tell you something.
How do you not bring a stretcher up? Did you see him?
It was disgraceful, is what that was. That was next piece of meat available. That was a disgrace, the way that was handled.
Tossed the body over in the corner.
And then they let him sit over there, and he literally looked like he didn't know what world he was in. That was disgraceful. Go ahead, Bino.
I don't know that I've ever heard a sound quite so sickening as that either. I mean, it rung out over television.
Back to the phones we go. 865 200 5402. Next portion of tonight's Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, fifth quarter fan reaction presented by our friends at U.S. Foods, who also presents Beano's appearance tonight. Attention Class A CDL drivers, if you'd like to be home every night, and I bet you would, well, the good folks over at U.S. Foods are seeking Class A CDL drivers for delivery positions in the Knoxville area. And let me tell you something. They've already hired a couple folks out of this audience, but they're looking for more. They are looking for more. U.S. Foods, a leader in the food service industry, and they are growing. So a minimum of 1 year commercial driving experience required, 6 months food service or food beverage delivery experience.